You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Freak going the other way now with it again. Dribbles with the right hand. Here he comes. Up and under. Lays it in with a circus shot. Is there anything this guy can't do? 56-33 Milwaukee now with a 23-point lead as Giannis continues to add to the tally. He's got 14.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
89-69. Bucks playing for the final shot. 6 seconds left. Holiday drifts to his right. He's defended by Thompson there. Got to work quickly now as he shakes him. Now pulls up, fading and firing on the right baseline. Got it. What a way to finish a quarter for Drew Holiday with a little panache.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
Bucks tonight, maybe their most dominant win of the season, and certainly defensively their most impressive win here, as it is not coincidental. The Bucks get Brook Lopez back in the starting lineup. You have Serge Ibaka, who played incredibly well tonight, maybe his best performance in a Bucks uniform. Bobby Portis adjusting to his new role off the bench quite nicely. All of that converges here, but I think most importantly, the return of Brook Lopez in the starting lineup, the Brook and Giannis heavy minutes, the rim protection that they were able to bring in waves with Brook, with Giannis, with Serge Ibaka, and this defense dominates and just swarms the Chicago Bulls. A very good, efficient offensive night from the Bucks as well, but the story is the defense. You can't say the Bucks defense is all the way back. Talked about this a couple of times already in recent games. You do want to see this team climb into the top 10 because historically it has been incredibly tough to win an NBA championship if you do not finish in the top 10 defensively. The Bucks still around 15 coming into this game, but a chance to finish the season in that top 10 and performances like tonight will certainly help that. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. That is the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. We've asked the question a couple of times, but games like tonight, it can't help but get you to bring it up once more. Do you feel like this team is back, I guess? Back in the spot you felt they were a season ago. I know there's some absences, but this team now is healthy. We've seen Pat Connaughton on the floor two straight games. Pat Connaughton with a big night again tonight off the bench. 8 3-pointers in his 2 games since returning from that broken hand bone. Brook Lopez is back. We saw what Brook Lopez brings to this team defensively. Bobby Portis adjusting to his bench role. And George Hill back again. Another guy that you heard some of those questions directed to Bud about his impact on this team and what he allows them to do defensively. So when you see a performance like this, and I understand there's no Lonzo Ball on the floor for the Chicago Bulls. Bulls are a team that has really been struggling of late, to put it mildly. There's a couple of stats on them to share that will be eye-popping. But you got to start somewhere, and you got to start to stack these. And we had said, I got to see the Bucks playing at that level once we get to mid-March, late March, into April. They got to start to play like this heading into the postseason. They went on that stretch on the road. Then on their most recent road trip, 2-2, rather ugly performances, especially defensively, to bookend that road trip. But now, these 2 games are your chance to build some momentum. A Bulls team that have been struggling offensively and a Washington Wizards team that's going nowhere on Thursday night. So your confidence level in the Bucks, have they turned the corner or are they turning the corner? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. The Bulls statistics that I said are quite alarming if you live in the South and you are a Bulls fan. After this performance tonight, with this performance tonight, the Chicago Bulls are now 0-16 against the top 6 seeds in basketball, the top 3 in each conference, the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Bucks. the Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns, and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Bulls are 0-16 against those teams. If you want to throw in the Boston Celtics for good measure because they're tied with the 76ers, the Bulls are 1-17 in those games. Not being able to beat the good teams is the problem that the Bulls have had all season long. And as we wrapped up the network portion of our post-game show, we did take a look at the standings, and I've said this a couple of times on Bucks and 30, on this show, on the Daily Podcast, on the NBAM. We've talked about the standings and some of the separation we're starting to see. We have seen that at the top. It's pretty clear the Heat, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics, as of right now, are the best teams in the East, and those are the teams towards the top. You can throw the Brooklyn Nets in there as well. They've been playing very well of late. Kevin Durant has come on strong. Huge performance the other night in that win against the Utah Jazz. But the Brooklyn Nets aren't coming out of that play-in tournament. They're not getting out of that range, I should say. They're likely coming out as the winner of the play-in tournament. But you have that grouping of the Heat, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Boston Celtics, and they're now separated by 2.5 games. The Heat and the Sixers have the easiest remaining schedules of those four teams. Bucks and the Celtics have the more difficult schedules. The Boston Celtics have just been red hot for 3 months. The Bucks are starting to get healthy. It is up for anyone among those four teams. So you could see those teams finish anywhere from first through fourth in the Eastern Conference. And how these teams handle these final 3 weeks of the regular season is going to tell you a lot. It's the same conversation we had last year heading into the playoffs about the Bucks' potential first-round matchup. They closed the season against the Chicago Bulls, and a lot of the talk was, how do you approach this game? If you win, you're very likely to face the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. It seemed like there was a split in the audience of who wanted the Miami Heat versus who didn't. Behind the scenes, the Bucks put it to a vote and said, we don't care who we play. If it means we have a more difficult stretch and we have a more difficult path towards a championship, that's fine with us. We want to play to win, and we want to stay in that mindset heading into the postseason. And we saw what resulted for the Bucks last season. But you are going to have a number of teams having that same conversation now for the next 3 weeks of, what do we do knowing if we're one or two, there's a decent chance, even if we finish first, there's a decent chance we're playing the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the postseason. So how teams choose to approach these final few weeks will tell you quite a bit. And I think we've already seen the Philadelphia 76ers tip their hand just a little bit. But 1 through 4 is pretty much wide open. It could be anything for the Bucks, for the Heat, for the Sixers, and for the Boston Celtics. Again, have the Bucks turn the corner now, and your takeaways from this defensive performance tonight against the Chicago Bulls, 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Bulls only turn it over 6 times last time out. Season low for them. Grayson Allen slithers through the defense and floats it off the window and good with a left hand. So Grayson going right at this rival that has come to revile his name over the course of this season.
Yeah, Grayson Allen scoring 10 points tonight, and all of those points came from inside the arc. This was an incredibly efficient game for the Bucks, inside and outside, but statistically, this was the second best offensive game the Bucks have played this season. Some more on that in a moment. Some more on the Chicago Bulls' struggles. And a look at the Bucks as well, as we talk about the Bulls' record against the top 6-7 teams, really, in the East and West, if we include the Boston Celtics. How the Bucks rank in similar matchups, we'll get to those numbers in a moment. But let's head to the phone lines. We start things in Hartford. Let us check in with Cliff here. You're up first on Bucks Talk.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Cliff?
Hey, I tell you, with Lopez back and Connaughton back, I think they're unstoppable. I just believe that they're just a complete team now. And the issue is, I don't want to play the Nets. Kyrie Irving has killed us. For every time he plays, he kills us. So I'd rather be a number 2 or number 3 seed, but with everybody being healthy, I could see him maybe possibly jumping up to a number one.
Well, I think to that point, if you finish second, I think you're probably going to play the Nets because 7 and 8 would play each other. Now, right now, Brooklyn is 8th. They would be playing that game on the road, and all the indications we've gotten out of New York is nothing's going to change here going into the playoffs. So Kyrie Irving still isn't going to be eligible to play those home games for the Brooklyn Nets. So if the Nets finished 8th, they would play on the road, which means Kyrie Irving would be in that game. However, as of right now, the Raptors are the 7th seed. Irving can't play in that game, so it would be Kevin Durant and that team versus the Raptors. I do think the Raptors are going to pass either the Cavaliers or the Bulls. I would not rule out this Chicago Bulls team dropping down to 7th in the Eastern Conference. Regardless, unless it's the Raptors and Kyrie's not able to play in that game, Brooklyn is probably going to win that play-in tournament game, meaning they would be the 7th seed. So if you're second, there's a pretty good chance you're getting the Brooklyn Nets. Look, the return of Pat Connaughton changes things for this team's versatility, and certainly I don't think we expected to see the offense we've seen from him with 8 threes in his first 2 games back, at least this early. Brook Lopez, you saw the defense. I don't think it's a coincidence that this defense was so good tonight with Brook Lopez playing heavy minutes and back in the starting lineup. But with that Brooklyn matchup, there's a couple of interesting things to point out, but I want to ask you, what's the biggest weakness for this team right now? That you ran through, look, here's everything that's improved with them, and certainly this team being healthy. We haven't had a big glimpse at what it's looked like for this season, but as you look at this team, and I know it's not a large sample size of Brook on the floor and everybody else available, what is the biggest weakness that the Bucks have that would prevent them from winning a second straight NBA championship? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. There's one thing that I wouldn't say jumps out to me, but there's one thing that seems apparent to me. It's not as visible as it was a season ago when we try to examine what's the weakness of this Bucks team, because I've said it all season long. Giannis, Chris, and Drew, they're pretty good. Now, you didn't get to add to the tally of the Bucks' record is this when that trio plays. The Bucks' record aside, just the metrics, the offensive rating, the defensive rating, what's the net rating with that trio on the floor, it's still pretty good. Now, it's not jump off the page, holy cow, this is good, the levels it was last year, but it's still pretty good. It is better than the best in the league. It would be in the 90th percentile, the way they play defensively with that trio on the floor. Now you can sprinkle in some minutes with Brook Lopez and see how that looks. But look, we mentioned Pat Connaughton being back in the mix for this team. All season long, the Bucks' best groupings were those minutes where Giannis, Chris, Drew, and Pat Connaughton were on the floor together. And now you can add Brook Lopez into that. You can add Serge Ibaka into that. You can add Bobby Portis. We've seen most of those minutes, the fifth guy in a lot of those lineups all season long, had been either Bobby Portis, Wesley Matthews, or George Hill. You can even do Javon Carter, who we've seen get more and more run. You heard some of the comments. You may have missed him, but basically what Bud said was, look, Javon Carter is a guy that just competes. His competitiveness is what helps us the most when he's out there on the floor. He's out there picking guys up full length. He's got active hands. He gets into plays. He just plays smart offensively and defensively, and he's hitting shots, so he's spacing the floor well for this team as well. You got so many looks you can throw out there now with that fifth guy, but those are the four guys that are going to be the most important to this team moving forward. It's going to be great to have Brook Lopez, and again, that's going to be matchup-based, situation by situation. But if you got a matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers lingering, Brook Lopez is very much going to be needed for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Head back to the phone lines and talk with Mike in Shorewood. You're up next.
Yeah, how you doing? Good to see we're fully loaded and back to form, and knock on wood, they don't suffer any more unforeseen injuries. We got our guys back at the right time. Tonight, just a masterpiece on the Bulls. I know they own the Bulls, but their Bulls are a young team. but still a team that's up and coming and a playoff team, and just dominant, really stifled them defensively, as you mentioned. It makes all the difference there with the size matchups with Lopez back, and now with Connaughton, they're just fully loaded with a lot of weapons here. And this is the Bucks here. When they're humming, I don't think there's a team, in my opinion, that can beat them in the playoff series. So, barring they beat themselves with their own sloppiness and turnovers, et cetera. But as long as they're functioning and playing their type of basketball, they control their pace and dominance, I don't think there's any team to beat them out. Now it's going to be interesting here. They're moved up to the 2-seed here with the Philly slipping a little bit. It's going to be interesting here because everything's so bunched in. They can play either the Raptors, Bulls, or Cavs, because those teams are going to be battling here. It's going to be really fascinating, interesting, these final 10 games of the season. As long as the Bucks got to just be humming along, they got Washington, which should be another bloodbath game for them. And then you got a really tough stretch here with Philly. Who do you got? Philly, the Nets, and Memphis.
You got
so
Memphis.
That's going to be
Memphis, Philly, and the Nets. So you think there's not a team out there that'll take them down, but who is the toughest matchup for the Bucks in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, man, that's interesting. I don't know about Miami. Miami plays them tough, but the Bucks always beat them. So I'm starting to think Brooklyn is healthy, but you never know with Kyrie and with the mandates and everything. So they're just such a wild card. I'm really going down the list. Who would you say, really? To me, I guess if you say a fully healthy Sixers play them tough, but Bucks get over on them. So I would probably say maybe the Sixers. If you're not going to count the Nets, I think it's going to be between those two. What's your thought on that? I'll take your thoughts on that. It's a great win tonight, and love what the boys are humming here going to the final stretch of the season. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. There's a couple of interesting things for each of these teams. I'll get to that in a second, but all three of these teams near the top with the Bucks, they're difficult matchups for different reasons. And we've seen, I think in the case of all but one of these teams, really, we've seen the strengths and why they will make things incredibly difficult in a playoff series, but we've also started to see some of the weaknesses and the cracks in the foundation for those teams. The one team we haven't really seen any of those cracks for lately, at least since mid-December, is the Boston Celtics. Now, do I think the Boston Celtics are the favorites to win the East? No, but we've kind of joked around on this show a lot when we would look at, well, here's the 538 and here's what they're projecting. Here's the teams that are going to win or finish with the most wins in the Eastern Conference, and here's the team with the best chance to reach the finals and win the finals. The Bucks were either the top team or one of the two top teams for the longest time. I haven't checked what it is most recently here, but we'll do that in a second. But the other team was the Boston Celtics, and this really started in late January, early February. The Boston Celtics were the team that, by the model and those metrics, would pop up all the time, and you would look at the standings and think, Boston is sixth. What am I missing here? I know they've been playing better, but what am I missing with this Boston Celtics team? Maybe the 538 was just in on something a lot earlier than the rest of us. But that's the team that we haven't really seen any of those flaws yet. I'm not saying they don't have any. You've seen them with Philadelphia. We obviously know quite a few flaws that the Brooklyn Nets have. We've seen it at times, and we saw it most recently the other night with the Miami Heat. It's going to be a chore to score in the half court in the postseason. Tyler Hero is playing great, and he's scoring off the bench. Bam Adebayo is incredibly versatile. The strength the Heat bring to the table is you have Bam, you have P.J. Tucker, you have Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. Those are all guys that can defend multiple positions and basically have you covered 1 through 5 in a lot of cases. It's the offense, and how are they going to initiate half-court offense when we've seen Jimmy Butler's crunch time, his clutch situation statistics have been horrible for the Heat this season. We saw Bam Adebayo in a similar series last year where the Bucks were able to shut him down in that first round series. Duncan Robinson disappeared in that series as well. Miami's good offensively in the regular season when they get in transition, create fast break opportunities, and a lot of that is due to their defense. But it's the same thing we saw with this Bucks team the first 2 years under Bud. Yeah, it's great that you do it in the regular season. It's not there as frequently in the postseason. So I think that is the biggest question you would have about this Miami Heat team. For the Philadelphia 76ers, it's the opposite, where they just play very, very slow. And we saw that big matchup the Brooklyn Nets had with them the other week, where they blew them out. Brooklyn was very active, and Brooklyn was very vocal of, hey, we want to get this team running, and we don't think they can keep up with us. We're going to make this a track meet. We're going to get in transition. Now, for all the reasons we just said, you don't play quite as fast in the postseason. Maybe that's advantage Philadelphia, but it's a team that is very, very predicated on getting to the free throw line with James Harden and Joel Embiid. Their transition defense is downright awful. So if you have one of those games where it becomes a track meet, they're going to lose that game, and you have to question the depth on that team as well. Those are the flaws for those teams. Now, the Brooklyn Nets, that's kind of the elephant in the room, where you finish second if you're the Bucks, you're probably playing the Nets in the first round of the playoffs, unless the Toronto Raptors stay in that play-in tournament. Maybe Toronto beats Brooklyn in a game of the 7-8 where there's no Kyrie because he can't play in Canada. And that Raptors team is another one. Keep an eye on that team, because the standings we have right now, either the Bulls or the Cavaliers, they are going to drop out of the playoffs and into the play-in tournament. And what we saw tonight, you're almost inclined to think it's going to be the Chicago Bulls. But what happens with the Brooklyn Nets really could decide a lot here in this postseason. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Let's sneak in one more here. Talk with William in Watertown. You're up next on Bucks Talk.
Hello. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you about Boston. And the reason is speaks to my point, which is this. Defense is really underrated by a lot of national broadcasters. The reason the Bucks won against Phoenix last year is they began to figure out how to guard the pick and rolls. And yep. And I have to say that just as an aside, even before the injury during the Badgers game, they came out flat. They weren't playing aggressive defense. And more than any other professional sport, defense immediately translates to offense. The energy required to put out a good effort on defense might even alleviate some of the tension and the tightness when you're running your offense. And Boston has been playing excellent defense. And when the Bucks get into trouble, they don't, especially against three-point shooting teams that get hot on them, is they're not pressuring the ball. How many times have we heard that Bud's dad, you know, is always after him to, you know, pick up, three-quarter court pressure. You don't have to do that all the time, but you have to do it sometimes. And one of the key players that people aren't talking much about is DeAndre Bembry, and he could guard wings. And I think they're going to miss him against some teams down the road. And they also had two guys that were able to, you know, come off the bench and expend some energy and save the starters a little bit. So the Bucks are going to go as far as their defensive effort takes them. And that's just, what happened last year. I think it's going to happen again this year. And you may remember Alvin Robinson. He was one of my favorite Bucks players. And that guy was just so much fun to watch, because when you play good defense, it's often said that offense beats defense in the NBA. Not always the case. If you can overplay someone to their strong hand, make them eat up a little bit of the shot clock, you know, you go a long way to disrupting an offense. And by the end of the game, you put a lot of pressure on a good scorer, and he's going to be tired down the road. So, again, I want to see the NBA season's a long season, and I wouldn't mind if it were cut back, but that's not going to happen for economic reasons. But, you know, defense in the NBA, it's going to take you a long way.
The Bucks won the title last year because their defense was one of the best defenses we've seen in the playoffs in the last decade or so. I mean, really, you think about the Bucks and what they were able to do because of their defensive versatility last year, and going up against Kevin Durant inflated some of those numbers a little bit, but they made him work for those numbers, and they were able to throw different bodies at him. What they did against the Suns, especially in that finals series, was one of the best defensive performances we've seen in recent years. It's the Bucks, the Raptors, the year that they beat the Bucks in the conference finals. That was an all-time great playoff defense that Toronto had. And some of the early iterations of the Warriors were really the best defenses we've seen here in recent years. And that was the reason for the Bucks' success. So, look, I'm with you that it's incredibly difficult to win a championship if you're not a top 10 defense. Now, the Bucks can still finish in the top 10, and it's not to say you can't do it. But by the numbers, it doesn't happen very often. So you've got to continue to see those defensive strides to close out this season, because I think it asks a lot. And it's not as easy to say, all right, we've done this before. We won the championship last year. We know we got to clean these things up, but we'll do it in the playoffs. You want to see it happen a little bit prior to the playoffs so you at least feel better. So wins like tonight and defensive performances like tonight are big in alleviating some of those concerns. But the Bucks, look, they can cover off a lot of things they did last year. They still have the main group. The one big thing that's missing, and we won't know until the end of the season if it's too much to overcome, but a reason why that defense was so successful last year and why it was one of the best defenses we've seen in the postseason was because of somebody that's currently in Miami, because P.J. Tucker. You could play Giannis at the five with P.J. Tucker. P.J. could take on fours and fives and threes and guys in the backcourt. Pat Connaughton can play larger, and we've seen, starting last year, it was right around this time of the year, the game against the Clippers, where the Bucks had that big win on a Sunday afternoon here in Milwaukee. That was the first time we really saw Bud say, Pat Connaughton and Brook are kind of interchangeable in the late moments of the game, where if we need size, we go to Brook Lopez. If we need to be more versatile on the perimeter, we're going to play Pat Connaughton. You had P.J. Tucker in those groupings as well, but Pat Connaughton can give you some of that versatility. The one thing it seems like the Bucks are missing the most is that P.J. Tucker-type player. Now, Serge Ibaka can take on some of that. Bobby Portis can take on some of that depending on the matchup. But if you're going to play small and Giannis is your five, most of the time Chris Middleton becomes your four. Chris Middleton as the four versus P.J. Tucker, even with Pat Connaughton and other good defenders like Drew Holiday or Wesley Matthews, if it's him, that's a big difference. And even Wesley Matthews, for that matter, we've talked at times this season about, well, maybe Wesley Matthews is defensively a poor man's P.J. Tucker, where we can see him take some other options here and take some other positions, twos and threes and fours. You've seen varying degrees of success with Wesley Matthews defending up. He can't quite do as much on the perimeter as P.J. Tucker was doing a season ago. He checks off some of those boxes, but that's the one thing you would point to and say, look, defense is what won the Bucks the championship. Giannis won the championship in Game 5 with that performance and just his return, but defense is what put you to that spot. I mean, even without Giannis, the way they were able to play defensively in those final two games against the Atlanta Hawks, and you got big shots along the way from Chris and Drew in the series prior. Defense. Defense against Kevin Durant. Having Drew Holiday to throw out there on a one-legged, albeit, but on James Harden and Kyrie Irving before he went down. Your defense kept you in it because you had bodies you could throw on Kevin Durant and weren't so much worried about foul trouble. P.J. Tucker got there at times, but it wasn't, hey, if P.J. Tucker fouls out, we're really in trouble. I don't know who he turned to. You might be at that point this year if you have to face the Brooklyn Nets. So the defense is what did it for the Bucks last year. We've seen glimpses to know most of that defense is still there, that this team can still play like that. You're just missing one potentially big ingredient. Now, some of those matchups, maybe you don't need that, but it was nice to know, look, this team won last year because of that defense. If they had that same group, that defense is the same, and they're the best team in the East. I think the question you have to ask is this team as good as they were a season ago? And it's fair to say maybe not. Maybe they took a slight step backward The problem, though, is the Eastern Conference has certainly gotten better this season. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this. Some numbers we got to share on the Bucks and what they've done against some of the best teams in the league. The updated look at how this Bucks defense has fared as well. And I do want to spend some time looking at what's in front of this team. You don't want to get ahead of yourselves with the Wizards coming to town, but on paper, this seems like it's going to be a big weekend or week. It starts over the weekend with the Memphis Grizzlies, and then you got the Sixers and the Brooklyn Nets. It seems like it's going to be a big stretch of games, but why it potentially may not be. Not so fast. I'll tell you about it after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Pulling up on the left baseline. You nod your head and you go the other way.
A dominant night from Giannis, and look, there was some bad as well. We take the good with the bad for Giannis, but the final stat line reads as such. 25 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, a steal, and a couple of those blocks. The one on DeRozan, where he recovered, and DeRozan ultimately scored on the regather, but where he recovered came from the other baseline, or came from the other corner, contested and blocked him at the rim. This is one of those resume reel, demo reels for the Defensive Player of the Year game for Giannis. The bad, though, was the turnovers. He had 9 turnovers in this game. He joked he had a chance at a triple-double and just missed out. But Giannis, with that stat line of 25 points, 17 boards, 9 turnovers, and 5 assists, he is the first player in an NBA game since Ben Simmons to have 15 or more rebounds and 9 or more turnovers. The last player to do that was Ben Simmons back in March of 2019, and he narrowly missed out on becoming just the 11th player in NBA history to have a stat line of 25 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, and 10 or more turnovers. It's been done 13 times. 10 players have accounted for those 13 instances. So Giannis narrowly missed out on that. But look, this is another game where we haven't even gotten into it on this show of the MVP discussion. Nikola Jokic and his Denver Nuggets are playing tonight. But you see the importance that Giannis brings to this team. And I think the defensive 1-2 punch of he and Brook Lopez. You get that rim protection from Brook. You get Giannis is very likely the best help defender in this league. The defense was elite tonight for this Bucks team. So another just masterful game by Giannis. We can't say enough about Jrue Holiday, who scored 20 of his 27 points in the second half of this game. And you just saw some of those matchups thrown his way of Alex Caruso, whoever it was. But most of the time it was Alex Caruso. They had no answer for him. If it was Kobe White, if it was Ayo Dosunmu who got matched up on Jrue Holiday, he just took them all the way to the basket. This was the second best offensive game in terms of efficiency the Bucks have played this season. The only game they have played better in virtually all categories was a win they had over the Denver Nuggets all the way back in November. Late November of this season, they shot 63% from the field in that game. They shot 49% on threes in that game. They shot 73% true shooting percentage, an effective field goal percentage of 74%, both season highs. They shot 77% in the paint. They shot 75% on their twos in that game. Tonight, they shot 61%, second time this season they've shot 60% or better. They shot 43% on threes. They shot 70% on twos. And they were 29 of 40 in the paint. They were absolutely dominant in all areas. In the paint, in the mid-range, on three-pointers. The Bulls' defense just had no answers for this team. So a big win where you get to jumpstart and ignite the defense for this Bucks team as well. And now, after this performance tonight, it may not sound like much, but the defensive rating for the Bucks is 110.2. That is tied with the Toronto Raptors for 12th in the NBA. So we said, hey, you got to get to 10. It's tough to win a championship if you're not a top 10 defense. Well, you're 12th going into play against the Wizards on Thursday, and that's another team you should be able to dominate if you're healthy, dominate especially defensively, and for that matter, 9 through where the Bucks are at 12, really 9 through 15 in defensive rating right now is separated by less than 1 point, so there is a chance for the Bucks to cross the finish line in the top 10 here in the regular season. But I did promise some numbers on the Bucks and how they rate against the best teams in the league. Told you the Bulls, it is abysmal what they have done against the top 3 seeds in each of the conferences. If you throw in the 4th seed in the East, the Boston Celtics, the Bulls are 1-17. If we take out the Celtics, the Bulls are 0-16 against those teams. So how have the Bucks fared? We'll take a look at those, and also why this road trip that happens after the Wizards, why this road trip may not end up being as difficult as we originally thought. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. It'll be really tough. You have this Bulls team, but I think we've seen enough to know these Bulls games are not that difficult. The Bulls are, all due respect, the ultimate cute story. They are 0-16 against the really good teams, the Suns, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Miami Heat. They're 0-16 against those teams. The Boston Celtics have been really good lately, so if we include them, they're 1-17. They don't beat good teams. The Bulls aren't a good team. The Bulls aren't getting out of the first round of the playoffs. And at this rate, the Bulls might be in the play-in tournament, and they might not even get to the playoffs. The Clippers are another game that you have on the schedule, and I think we're used to. That's a playoff team. But you don't realize they've been playing pretty well, but you're not going to see Paul George. You're not going to see Kawhi. You're not going to see Norm Powell. They're playing for next year. So there are games that are tough on the schedule. You got the Wizards. I think the Clippers game is one, especially since it's at home. And by the way, that might be a game where Giannis could move past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history. I believe he's 110 away from passing Kareem now after this 25-point performance tonight. But this kind of goes into the point I wanted to make. You look at what's in front, you say Memphis, Philly, Brooklyn in that stretch. 3 straight on the road, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday. Man, Memphis is the second-best team in the West. Philly was tied with the Bucks for the second-best in the East. Brooklyn is playing incredibly well, and there's Kevin Durant. That's a home game, so there's going to be no Kyrie. Memphis is going to be tough. The game on the 29th against the 76ers, I am all but willing to guarantee you will not see either Joel Embiid or James Harden, and maybe both. Because I think we've seen enough to know the 76ers want no part of the 2 seed. They probably want no part of the 1 or 2 seed because they know that means we're facing our worst nightmare in the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the playoffs. So on paper it looks tough. Things happen. We see it day by day, week by week in this league. Things happen and games that look tough suddenly aren't tough. I think that's the first of those instances the Bucks are going to run into. Let's squeeze in one more here. Nate in Jackson, you're up next on Bucks Talk.
Justin, great to speak with you again, my friend. Watching the game tonight and how Drew took over in the second half and basically got buckets at will. So two questions. One's about Drew. Do you feel like he's underrated in terms of how Bucks fans feel about him? And then the second question is, where do you see the biggest sort of weakness in this team? I feel with Brook coming back and the defense sort of solidifying around him, it feels like their 1-4 is pretty good. So heading into the playoffs, where do you feel like their biggest weakness is?
Well, thanks for the call. And so Drew Holiday, I don't think he's underrated here anymore. That I think once you got a chance to see him up close and personal in the postseason and see everything that he brings to the team, I think that started to dissipate. But in terms of the biggest weakness, it's kind of what we brought up with a previous caller. In I think the Bucks' biggest weakness is going to depend on what their path is in the playoffs and who these teams are going to have to go through are, because if you had, and I don't want to dwell on it, we've avoided the name for most of the season, but you can't help but bring it up once you get close to the postseason. If you had P.J. Tucker, you know we can play basically any way we want to. We can go big. We can play P.J. on the floor with Brooke Lopez. We can do P.J., Brooke, and Giannis as our front court and Chris and Drew in the back court, and we can bring in scoring off the bench with Grayson and P.J. and or Grayson and Bobby, whoever it is. We can play small because, again, P.J. Tucker's size and his girth, his acreage, as my pal Ben Golliver puts it, that he allows you to cover up so many things, and he can take on fives because of that. We saw him defend Joel Embiid at times last year, pretty early in his arrival here, because he has that low center of gravity, and he can make things really tough. So you could just play any way possible with P.J. Tucker last year. You don't have as much versatility with him gone. You can cover it off in some areas. Serge Ibaka has some of that playability. He can't defend guys in the backcourt. Bobby Portis has some of that in the pick and roll. Same thing we saw against the Atlanta Hawks in some of the other series against the Nets. It became very, very difficult for Bobby to stay on the floor in some of those situations. So I think you've covered about 70% of the versatility. Pat Connaughton is going to have to do more, is ultimately what it results in. And you need to get close replication, at least for those threes, defensively from Wesley Matthews. And George Hill's going to take on some of that as well. But you're asking a handful of guys to replace what one guy did, especially defensively. And I think that's ultimately the area you would say this is the biggest weakness the Bucks potentially have. But again, it all depends on what the path is in the postseason, because that Nets matchup, let's say the Bucks finish second and take on the Brooklyn Nets. There's good and bad. I mean, the bad is P.J. Tucker is gone. That was the Kevin Durant defender, so that means Chris Middleton's got to take on some of it. Drew Holiday's got to take on some more. At times, Giannis is going to have to take that on. Wesley Matthews, you don't have that one clear guy that can defend him. You still have some bodies you can throw at him, but last year it was P.J., you got him, and then we can sprinkle in some other guys. That's the bad. The good, though, is, and I know you didn't run into this very much other than 15 seconds last series or last season, but you only have to worry about one of those guys in the backcourt. And look, you may only have to worry about one of those guys in the backcourt and Kyrie Irving for half of the games in the series. So there is good and bad with that matchup. But ultimately, the versatility that this team is trying to get back here, that could be the biggest weakness of how many different ways can you play. We will wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, cause I'm
up another three, missed it. Giannis has it land right in the breadbasket. Here he goes, downhill. Slings to the corner. Carter, catch and shoot. Three. Yes, sir. Give Giannis another assist, and how about a three ball on the house?
It's the heart of a champion.
Javon Carter with another big game and another big boost defensively for this Bucks team, who just demolish the Chicago Bulls, again, 0-16 against the top three seeds in each conference. 0-17 if we make it the top four in the East and the top three in the West. 1-17, I beg your pardon. But that's the story for the Chicago Bulls. For the Bucks, if we look at the top 10 teams by net rating and the Bucks' performance against those teams, they are 9-10, which actually is not that bad when you consider the other teams in the league and how they've performed. The Boston Celtics, how resurgent and hot they've been. Boston's 9-9 in those games. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 8-15. The Miami Heat, the leaders of the conference, 9-12 in those games. The Bucks are 9-10. The only team that's been really, really good in those matchups is the Phoenix Suns, who have been a video game this season, 13-17. So Bucks are getting better. They're getting healthier. The defense looked a lot better tonight. My thanks to everybody for hanging out with us for the last hour. Back again same time on Thursday as we recap the Bucks and the Wizards. My thanks to Brandon for producing the show as well. We'll talk to you Thursday with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.